Like, I walked over the, went to the bathroom in between the break. I saw somebody playing with one of the puppies that they have up for adoption.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's about, like, seven people here.
Man. Yeah.
We outworked Shador Sanders today, G. Bush.
Yeah, ain't nobody out here. I mean, but it is crazy hot, though. Like, why?
Crazy hot. Well, that's the thing. So they had a shortened practice today, and they didn't make it as long. And it's like, well, why did they not make it as long? And Coach Riz was on earlier with us, Odyssey Rewind. Go back and check that out. It's like, why did they make it not as long? It's like, well, it was really hot out today.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't want to deal with that. So tomorrow they're probably going to go a little bit harder, and they'll make sure that they do a little bit more. And it's like, well, all right.
Put them pads on, and tomorrow's going to be crazy. The pads will come back on. They will be looking around. And here's the thing, too. It isn't the same as it is. I remember, like, going. I keep expecting it to be two-a-days, and now I'm really starting to want to go back and get a lawyer and do a class action lawsuit.
Oh yeah, why? Did you feel robbed? Is this
I feel like it was cruelty, cruel and unusual punishment.
And now everyone is basically Camp Cupcake, even if they're actually not doing as light of work as they used to.
Like there's some things called like scientific like.
No, so you know what this is? We have to be better for the people in front of us, right? Like I did 5 hours for the night show every night, and then they came down, and halfway through, they're like, you know what? The fifth hour doesn't make much sense. We're only going to do 4 hours, right? And so like, do I look at it like, man, Jake Volnick never had to do that night show, never had to do 5 hours. You know, Ken did it. Nick did it. Like, everyone else did 5 hours.
Right of passage.
He didn't have to do it, and so he's got it easier in life. No. Instead, I'm like, the system was dumb. Should never have been 5 hours to begin with for a solo nighttime radio show. Shouldn't work. And so I'm glad that they fixed it. I'm glad Jake doesn't have to go through that. Like, that's how we got to look at this, right?
Or, yeah.
But you look at it like, no, I did it, and I feel robbed.
Well, no. So my parents, they had they're a little old school.
Sure.
And my parents used to say that we weren't allowed to wear any shorts to school until after Memorial Day.
Okay.
And Memorial Day was an arbitrary day. And as you grow up and being the oldest, you start learning, you start to understand about random selection. You're like, Mom, you do realize that Memorial Day does not denote that it's a safe to wear shorts. And by the way, there's no such thing as you getting sick because you had shorts on.
Yeah.
Like, you get sick because, like, there's germs and they get into your lungs and
yeah, they're like the pants you wear isn't really an indicator on that unless it's so hot or so cold.
Yeah, like unless I have a heat stroke, but that's not going to happen. And then they're like, yeah, who cares what you learned in school? That sounds nice. You're still not wearing shorts. So school ends in like June. Like, so that means Memorial Day is what? The 28th?
Sure.
So I have 6 days to wear shorts, but it's been hot since April.
Yeah.
I said, that's wild. That's wild work, Mom. When I get older, I refuse to put that type of stipend on my children.
Yeah. I like that your mom had things she stood for, though.
She stands on a lot.
It's the little things like that, though, that you're going to remember for the rest of your life.
Forever.
You know, like that's the fun little quirks that make somebody a somebody.
Right. Like, do you have anything that you're unusually keen on that you know is unfair that you're going to place on your children?
That I'm going to place on my children?
Yes.
I'll have to think about it and get back to you. What are yours?
One of them is, like, I will give it to my, like, my father, like, shout out to him. Like, he never really stepped in too much. But, like, I had a bedtime, and then it kind of disappeared a little bit. Like, because...
Oh, yeah, I definitely had a bedtime growing up.
Sporting events, right? So, like...
Yeah.
Sporting events, my father would step up and be like, it's Monday Night Football, the Browns are never on, there's a blackout rule.
Like, which should, I like that, by the way. I like the idea that sporting events that are great should be able to go ahead and supersede the bedtime.
Like, it's like, yeah, if he fails school tomorrow, like, he's not going to fail in life.
Oh, here's one. Okay, I do have one. But this is, like, carried on tradition that my mom gave me. And so I don't know that it's, like, exclusively me.
Okay.
But, like, we got to miss opening day every year, we got to miss and go to the baseball game.
That is
every single year, and every year my mom would call into the school and be like, yep, looks like they're all under the weather. And they're like, all three of them are under the weather? Because it was my sister and me and my little brother. All three of them? We all went to the same grade school. All three of them? And then they'd be like, yep, all three of them. But like, it happened every single year that my mom, at a certain point, she didn't even have to lie anymore and be like, they're out sick for like sick reasons.
Yeah,
it was just understood. Like, yeah, Jonathan goes off for the baseball game every single year.
That
he gets
beautiful.
Opening day off, and that is what it is.
That is beautiful.
I'd like to do that with my kid.
Wow, man. I was actually sick, and it happened to be, I think I kind of faked it, but it was the first year Jacobs Field was open.
Yeah.
And I was just like, there's no way I'm going to school. I will be at the crib watching this game. They had the new uniforms. They wear the white.
Oh, not even like at the game. You're like, I gotta watch it on TV.
I just they had a brand new stadium. The Browns weren't around. It's 1999.
This was baseball, G. Bush, too, though. This was when you were playing ball and everything like that.
This is baseball.
Pretending
is my
to
whole
be
life.
Albert Bell in your driveway.
Oh, what you mean? I was the big hurt. I was Frank Thomas.
The big skirt is what we used to call him.
Man, listen, man.
He mashed, I'm sure. And the testosterone ads have told me that he's still mashing. But as far as I'm concerned, he was the big skirt.
He was the first dude I used to tell him. I used to think I was smarter than all my friends. I'm like, yeah, you guys don't know. You know, you guys, anybody can pull the ball, but anybody who has power to the opposite field is a real home run hitter.
Oh, yeah. Can you do it both ways?
Yeah, can you guys, you'll learn about it.
Now, did the Gene Honda voice transition and carry all the way to Cleveland as well, where people would do the number 35, Frank Thomas?
Everything did. You saw the thing where,
I met Frank Thomas as a kid, by the way.
Wow.
And so the idea in Chicago was that everyone knew that Frank Thomas was just a jerk. Like, that was it. He just treated people poorly.
It was him, Eddie Murray, and Barry Bonds were terrible.
Yeah, Albert Bell, you can throw in that list as well. Yeah. Like, there's just a certain number of baseball players that everyone just kind of stunk.
So it was all the black dudes.
But I met him. That's funny. I met him when I was like 12, and he was awesome.
So you
like the greatest.
And so from that point on, you're like, you can't tell me nothing about it.
From that point on, I went around refuting everyone that would try to bring that up. And like I don't know that Frank realized the amount of goodwill he did himself in being nice to a 12-year-old
right.
at one point, and it was me, that 12-year-old. But I would go around and just be like, awesome guy, the very best. Like, I think I rewrote his image in just that one encounter.
You know what's so crazy?
It was
great. Back then, baseball was so big. Like, we even memorized the way people used to bat.
Batting stances were everything.
Like,
and they have like that batting stance guy on TikTok. Like, he still does some of that. But kids these days don't do that for some reason.
Like,
is it because the players aren't as unique in their stances?
Like,
or we just don't find it interesting anymore?
Like the Brady Anderson.
Gary Sheffield.
Dante Bichette.
Sheffield, you wave the bat like you're doing a fan at a Japanese restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Mickey Tettleton. all of them. Rafael Palmeiro. Everybody wanted to get to Griffey. But you couldn't get to Griffey, so the JV was Russell Branyan.
I would even do like Cal Ripken, where you rested on the shoulder, was another
Cal
one.
Cal Ripken was one.
That was like the lame one, though. That was the I'm going to become an accountant later in life. You're doing Cal Ripken. You're like, you're not really trying to do any flair here.
The Ricky Henderson crouch, like you had to get like Ricky Henderson.
I was explaining to Nick the other day because somehow Rod Beck came up. Rod Beck got buried in his Cubs uniform. But I was telling Nick that I used to put my arm over my chair at school. He used to have this big like swinging thing that he did before he pitched. And I would just do that all day.
Like if there was literal people. Robin Ventura was another one.
Yeah, Ventura with the open stance.
Yeah, like
number 23.
Man, so I don't know what happened. I'm a black dude from Canton. You're a white dude from like Chicago or Houston. Where are you from?
Chicago.
Yeah,
I did live in Houston though.
Yeah, right. So see, I know two things about you.
Yeah.
and we know all the stances, right?
Yeah.
Like that's wild. Like how can you?
It basically means everyone our age probably knows all the stances too.
All of them.
Is that all that means?
That means everyone
was doing it.
Everybody.
But they don't do it anymore. Why don't they do it
Kevin
anymore?
Kevin Euclid.
Why is that not even a thing?
Kevin Euclid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because
that was as insane as it. Good pull from you, Jax. That was as insane as it gets.
Yeah.
But is that because there aren't as many cool ones? Like, oh man, I was watching somebody the other day. And the broadcast was talking about how like he had such an open stance, and how unique that was. And it was like, and he wasn't really; it didn't look that odd. It was barely open. And I was like, in the '90s, they would have laughed at this.
In the '90s, we had Jay Buhner. What are you talking about?
We had things like Benito Santiago throwing from one leg to try to throw runners out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there was all sorts of weird things.
There was all kind of
that was part of what defined it, though.
Julio Franco, there was. Like, you know, these are – baseball was so – I think the thing that we're missing is baseball was super diverse back then. Like, I just named you 10 black dudes that play baseball, and they're all Hall of Famers. I can't name you seven that aren't good.
Yeah, we're getting into the Lance Johnson territory.
Yeah. Like
Brian McCray.
Yeah, listen, Tim Raines – even like it's just guys that was there, like even Mitt guys that wasn't even that cold, like Crime Dog Fred McGriff was
crime
like,
dog, yeah.
He wasn't Chipper Jones or nothing.
He's still pretty great, though.
He was still pretty good.
The Tom Emanski videos did a lot for his PR, though.
But listen, the back-to-back-to-back AAU national championships.
Yeah. They were always on.
Our little league coach had that little bucket out there, that home plate.
We all did. Well, that's the thing, though. I think everyone had so many shared experiences because there weren't as many things to do. I don't want to sound like I'm like 75 years old, but I feel like that's why I mentioned Ryan Sandberg passing away in Quick Hits. And it's like everyone watched. You watch Cubs baseball because it was on WGN. Everyone watched the Braves because it was on TBS. And those are the teams you watched outside of your main teams. But everyone had a connection with those type of players and Harry Carey and everything else.
Man, you just like.
But we don't have that anymore.
Ryan Sandberg was like the like that. That was like, hey, you're talking about you middle infielders. You was Cal Ripken, Ryan Sandberg. Give me Ozzy. Give me
Smith.
Yeah. I could have said Ozzie Guillen, but I remember.
I loved Ozzie Guillen too, number 13.
That's crazy because I remembered him as a player, and then he was a manager. And I'm
well,
like,
he was our favorite type of broadcaster, though.
Yeah.
Unhinged.
Yeah, just.
Put butts in the seat. You were talking about like Perkins in between the break, Kendrick Perkins just being just a wild card of sorts, but you like that because it puts butts in the seat?
Yeah.
That's Ozzie Guillen as a broadcaster.
Back then.
Unhinged human. That's great for the game.
I think that era, like, they had such an intimate relationship with baseball in general. Like, back then it was all up. We talk about gut feelings with, like, John Dorsey. Those guys had gut feelings, too. Like, catchers used to actually be like, yeah, I'm calling the pitch.
But there was a lot more of that when you talked about with Bernie Kosar, though. There was a lot more of that, like, that guy just looks like a baseball player.
Yeah, just all day. Like, you just
I think that's why people like Angel Martinez so much, because he just kind of looks like a baseball player, and he looks like flows, a throwback baseball player flows. In many ways.
That's why Jose Ramirez is people like him. He slides head first. He can play.
And he could play in any era.
Yeah, just...
Yep. All right, for more on this, I want to find out who Chris Jimenez used as his batting stances as a kid, because you know he did. He had to have gone through the whole everything of him, because he's, you know, he grew up in our same age, grew up in our same same way of thinking.
Uh-huh.
But also, what exactly do the Guardians do now? Are they now sellers? Do they get rid of everyone between the Class A deal mixed with Ortiz? What's the fallout from that? Chris Jimenez, Guardians broadcast crew, he'll join us next right here on Afternoon Drive.